Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Gabriel leads a community of 100 people, calls himself the next planetary prince. He started out life as Tony Delavin from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But according to his own autobiography, after two traumatic divorces and the death of a 7-year-old daughter, he began to hear voices. He went to Los Angeles to be a musician, and when that failed, he says, the voices grew stronger. They told him he had had many past glorious lives on Earth. He'd been St. Peter and Alexander the Great.
My name is Joseph L. Flatley, and you are listening to Failed State Update with me and with your co-host, J.G. Michael. So, J.G., it's good to have you back. We had a couple weeks where you were a little busy, I was a little busy, things were up in the air, and we haven't had a chance to, like, shoot the shit in a while. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, just keeping myself busy, and I'm happy we're sort of back at it with Failed State Update.
Yeah, definitely. I tell you what I'm happy with is I'm a little late to this Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial, but I'm fascinated by it. Fascinated by the whole thing. I haven't even gotten into the implications of like Amber Heard as a monarch mind control subject. I don't know if that rumor has been started or not.
If it hasn't, it should be started. Yeah. I'm waiting for the Kathy O'Brien crowd to start talking about that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's just hearsay. That's the one thing. Every other time she opens her mouth, the lawyers say hearsay, objection, hearsay. And I don't understand what that means in a legal context. I don't understand how like you could be spreading hearsay about yourself because I mean, wouldn't you know? The whole thing is, it's like, it's so bizarre. Like, I can't think of the last time I actually watched a trial on TV, and it, like, really is a testament to, like, Johnny Depp's narcissism. Like, it wasn't even supposed to be on the air. You know, this, like, culture of narcissism, culture of sexual trauma. I brought up Monarch kind of facetiously, but we both had a chance to talk to an author lately who deals with those subjects in a serious manner, and oddly, there's a little bit of overlap between, you know, celebrity culture and this monarch conspiracy.
Well, it goes all the way back to the original MKUltra stories, particularly Candy Jones, the supermodel who dated, I would say, the precursor to Art Bell, Long John Neville. And, you know, there was this whole story, right? Candy Jones, mind-controlled assassin by night and by day. She's a supermodel.
Right. Candy Jones, for listeners who maybe aren't aware, I think it's called, what is it, the Control of Candy Jones?
The CIA Control of Candy Jones, I think by Donald Bain, who incidentally ended up writing a bunch of Murder, She Wrote books.
Well, that's a great gig if you can get it, for sure. Yeah, so Long John Neville, he's like, yeah, like you said, the Art Bell of the 60s, he's the, or 70s, he has all-night radio show where he just drinks a bunch of coffee and discusses Freudian subjects. And at one point, he gets married to, you know, Candy Jones, this woman who's visage graced all these, like, bombers in World War II, where they would like paint like cheesecake photos of women on the sides of bombers. And the story is apparently, you know, through hypnosis, like there was something wrong. She couldn't quite put her finger on it. Her husband hypnotized her and uncovered all these memories, which I guess the Amazing Randy told Paul Krasner, I guess Randy was friends with Neville, and I guess he told Paul Krasner that Neville, you know, was very open about the fact that he just made the whole thing up because he needed the money. So I don't know if that's been proven or is provable, but that's the story I heard.
I mean, I could believe it. I think there's sort of Carney tradition when it comes to late night talk hosts, especially the ones that talk about, you know, UFOs and, you know, you remember the it reminds me of the Area 51 call to Art Bell. You know, there's all kinds of like things that I think are kind of stagey, I guess, in late night talk radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that's the fun of it. And I've whiled away so many late night road trip hours listening to Art Bell back in the day. You know, it's fun. And sometimes people take it too far. As Candace Wooley, is that how you say her name?
I think it's Candace Wheely.
Wheely, yeah, that's right. So you introduced me to her and her new book, Monarch.
Out now from Soft Skull Press.
That's right. And you had a really good interview with her on Parallax Views. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I decided to have Candace on because, you know, I somehow got notified of this book, Monarch, and I just saw the cover of it, right? And it's just, you have this washed out sort of Barbie doll face on it, and it just says Monarch. And I'm like, wait, someone has made a novel based on Monarch, the mind control conspiracy theory, right? The not just mind control, because it's a little bit different from MKUltra, right? Like, Monarch is like the pornified version of MKUltra. It's not just mind-controlled assassins. It's like mind-controlled sex slaves for the CIA. What was that? There was that article by Robert Sterling, our friend from The Conformist. He wrote Uncle Ronnie's Sex Slaves. I think it was for like Hustler or something. But yeah, there were all these women that came out, chief among them Kathy O'Brien, author of Transformation of America, who basically claimed they were mind-controlled sex slaves for the CIA, and, you know, Boxcar Willie was a reptilian, and Bob Hope was my handler in the case of Bryce Taylor. And you have all these just women who I think had some serious issues and were, in my view, taken advantage of, probably.
Yeah, by their handlers, their men that were, you know, quote-unquote rescuing them. That was the case with Kathy O'Brien, I think. But, you know, also Candy Jones, both of their stories are very much, there was something wrong with me and this knight in shining armor came in and fixed me using hypnosis, and now we're going into business as, you know, professional conspiracy theorists. I don't really know how much, like, how much of that is put on, how much of that is the story, how much of that is, like, literally what happened. You know, does Kathy O'Brien think that she was part of Monarch? I don't know.
Real quick, I gotta ask you, have you ever seen the short documentary? Robert Sterling's actually in it. It's called The Most Dangerous Game, and it's a short documentary, like 10 minutes, about Kathy O'Brien and CIA mind control. And I think it was the Guerrilla News Network released it. They made it. And that's back in, like, the early 2000s, I think.
Yeah, that was, like, pre-YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the wildest documentary I've ever seen in some ways, because you're just watching this short 10-minute documentary, and Kathy O'Brien the whole time is like, and they carved satanic symbols on my vajayjay. And the whole documentary, they're, like, kind of, like, teasing that they're going to show it at the end, and they never do. And I'm like, is this like supposed to be some like weird cock tease for like conspiracy theorists and, you know, really out there evangelical Christians?
I remember when that came out because I was a big fan of that site and their work. And I remember not really even at the time thinking like, is this like news of the weird stuff, or is this, you know, is this really like, really, or is this really like journalism that's advocating for Monarch victims? Like, I couldn't, it's an odd subject, and it very easily veers into the sensational, but the reason I loved your interview with Ms. Wooley, and the reason that I interviewed her as well for Failed State Update, link in the show notes, is because I think that a lot of important subjects are brought up, come to light in these crazy mythologies. You know, I think there are very few people who believe that they are monarch slaves, but there are thousands and thousands of people who believe that monarch slaves exist. You know, slight difference. Why do people believe this outrageous stuff that can't be proven? And it's interesting to me to work on it in fiction, in a novel, because the novelist is doing on purpose what I think all these people are doing by accident, creating this narrative.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting with Kathy O'Brien. And then, so like you take Transformation of America by Kathy O'Brien, and then you put it side by side with Monarch by Candace Whaley. And it's interesting because one of those two books, mainly Candace's book, is sort of dealing with Monarch as a metaphor. And in a weird way, Kathy O'Brien kind of makes sense to me when I read her as fiction. It's like, you know, the whole most dangerous game element and, like, you know, this feeling of being hunted down in a patriarchal society. You know, I think a lot of people can relate to that. It's just, you know, to me, it makes sense as metaphor rather than, you know, some real account.
Well, yeah. And I think that's the point that I was trying to make. And I think that's why, you know, Candace did the book, was because it is a metaphor. Like, it is metaphor when Kathy O'Brien does it. Kathy O'Brien just doesn't realize that it's a metaphor. Metaphors are important for us to understand, to come to grips with reality. Some of us realize we're doing it. Some of us don't realize we're doing it. And then, like, the behavior that results from an unwitting metaphor, in the sense of QAnon and Roger Stone and trying to overthrow the election, is a lot different than the behavior that results in an actual healthy person realizing this is a horror story. And the reason it works as a horror story is because it does point to some truth that lies beneath the surface.
It reminds me a lot too of you know, movies like They Live and Society, the great body horror movie by Brian Yuzna. The reason those movies work is because those movies treat it as a metaphor. And really what they're getting at is that, you know, in a way, if you're at the bottom rung of society and you come across people at the top, they are going to seem completely different from you. They're just different culture, different strata of society. So they're almost – people at the tippy top are almost removed from the rest of us. So in a way, metaphorically, they almost are kind of alien to us in a way. All that stuff makes sense as metaphor, but then when you treat it as, no, they're actually 12-foot tall shape-shifting reptiles, then it gets a little bit out there.
Yeah, I guess what screws people up is they don't realize that they can have very strong feelings about metaphorical reality. You know, it's like, something horrible has happened to me. I can't even quite put a name to what happened, but I have this strong feeling, and I feel strongly drawn towards monarch conspiracy theories. It must be because that literally is what happened to me. I had a conversation with Jason Horsley of the Audit Culture podcast and author of all kinds of books, who like handles all this material in a way that's very similar to what we're describing, except he believes it's absolutely real. And I was having this conversation with him before he decided I was a dupe for the New World Order and spoke out against me in his blog, which is another story for another day, a short, not really that interesting story. He's been searching for proof that he was abducted or monarched. And to his credit, he doesn't have it, so he hasn't come out and said, at least when I spoke to him like 4 years ago, you know, he's like, I just have this feeling. I haven't been able to prove it yet. And I was like, well, so what's that mean? Like, do you want to, have you ever thought about maybe I want to believe this for some reason? And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's occurred to me, but how messed up would I have to be to want to believe it? Which is like, I appreciate the candor, but I don't think you would have to be that messed up to want to believe it. Not any more than you'd have to be messed up to be attracted to, like, body horror or any like transgressive art or cinema. We're all, a lot of us, I think we're all drawn to it to a degree. A lot of us will admit to it, but that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with us. It just means that there is a shadow side to the human beings that need to be, that needs to be explored.
It reminds me of that great line that he was a psychiatrist, R.D. Lang, you know, the one that he started the asylum that was run by the inmates, and then that made him famous, so he ended up on the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band cover. But I think he said once, you know, insanity is a rational adjustment to an insane world. That sort of gets at what you're saying. Like, I don't think it takes much to believe in things that may not be true or maybe out there or maybe not true in a factual sense, but maybe true in a metaphorical sense. I don't think it's that much of a leap for people, because we live in a world that is full of traumas, and, you know, I think people often feel crushed under the weight of the world. And I actually think that's what makes conspiracies so popular with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. And I'm going to suggest people check out our dueling interviews with the author. And speaking of a reaction to an insane world, I have an interesting tape for you guys today for the podcast. And last week, Gabriel Villarancha, who you might be familiar with as a subject of my book and podcast, my book New Age Grifter, and my podcast The So-Called Prophet from Pittsburgh, are about this real-life UFO cult. It's not a metaphor. It's in the desert in Arizona, and they are waiting for the end of the world. And, you know, and enjoying a lot of like trauma and extreme control behavior at the hands of Gabriel of Urantia and his lieutenants. Things have been really crazy there. Gabriel, as of late, apparently the story I've heard is he had COVID and he was at death's door, and it was like the best time they've had in the compound since, because it's like everybody was so worried about the leader that they like stopped like enforcing all the rules super hard, and they like lightened up and people actually had fun for a while. And then Gabriel came back from death's door and he's just been on a tear. I guess it's just like it's become like super, the story I've heard is it's become like incredibly restrictive and much more punishments and just a lot tougher than it's ever been. And at one point, you know, some people escaped. And then last week, Paladin, which is a extraterrestrial cosmic entity that speaks through Gabriel, it's something that people in the cult are very familiar with, these channeling sessions and getting spoken to by this space alien or whatever. But it's not something us people outside the cult ever really get to hear. Until last week, when Paladin Van, the Gabriel's extraterrestrial space voice in his head, called up the radio station and started talking about the upcoming apocalypse and the end of the world. So it's pretty interesting. And what I ended up actually doing is I got a tape of this, and I got on Zoom with Joshua Lilly, who is a former ex-member who's I've interviewed quite a bit and who's been on the podcast before. And we just played it. And then like we would pause it every so often and Josh would comment on what he just heard or, you know, the messages behind what Gabriel's saying. Really an interesting tape. So we're going to hear that now. And then we'll be back on the other side. Josh Lilly is a former member of the Global Community Communications Alliance, the cult, the UFO cult in Arizona that we cover quite a bit on Failed State Update. You might say that he's a motivated ex-member, motivated by bringing Gabriel and his corrupt inner circle into account and trying to find a way to help all the people who have been in the cult's compound in Tumacocri for so many years. The cult has a radio station called K-Van. It's available on the internet, and it's available in Tucson, Arizona. And recently, the leader of the cult took to the airwaves to warn people to come to Arizona and join him before it was too late. There was something particularly peculiar about the message, so I spoke to Josh, and we're going to play that recording back so that he can explain what it is exactly that we're listening to.
You're listening to KVANLP 91.7 Tucson, Visionary Radio, streaming across the universe online at kvan.fm.
Spiritualution and justice to God's people. The New Jerusalem is coming. Recently here on KVAN, DJ Mycenae received a phone call on the air from Paladin, Chief of Finaliters, who had a very important message for this world.
You think the Chief of Finaliters calling from a landline, or he's got a cell phone?
What's a finaliter? What does that even mean?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but from my understanding of what they claim it to be, it's a soul that's been all the way to paradise and like has returned back out into its creation. It's like a teacher.
So this is going to be Gabriel talking, but in this character as this, like, this soul that like went through this whole process and then came back.
The way it states it is that he was like an evolutionary mortal at one time and place, kind of like me or you, like, right, we're mortal beings. And the Arantia book or whatever, they're the Cosmic Family volumes talk about past lives and stuff like that. So Aladdin is kind of like a mortal human being that is like traversed time and space through the ascension process all the way to paradise. And now he's come back to like gather his cosmic family. it's a long story.
So we're very privileged.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is like a big one, buddy. It's a big one. Right.
Hello, this is K-Van Visionary Radio.
Yes, can I speak on the air?
Please, please, please do.
All right. Yes, my name is Paladin. That's spelled P-A-L-A-D-I-N, Paladin.
Paladin.
Yes. I'm the celestial being that speaks through Taliesin of Torah.
Yes.
All right.
Welcome, sir.
Yes. I would like to share with the general public that we are living in a transition period. We are about to experience the beginning of the first stage of light and life on Urantia Earth.
Yeah, so that phrase comes up a lot. Light, first stage of light and life. What's that?
The Urantia book talks about like we're in a rebellion, right? Just kind of like the Bible too, you know, it's a battle for souls. The same message across the board. And so he talks about like once you can become pure and like shed the worldly hangups and, you know, join his community and, you know, be completely subservient to him. And then there'll be a point where there's a cleansing of the planet, and it could be through apocalyptic shit or, you know, whatever. He just, you know, you'll find out more in the stuff to come. But yeah, so like he's talking about a cleansing of the planet. And there's a point after that that will be, if you're spiritually pure, you'll come into light and life. And that's what he's talking about, where it's the planet is no longer in rebellion. So no more cactus, no more black widows. It's all like rainbows and unicorns, buddy.
Well, his book, like, I can't remember the name, the divine new order, maybe. And then like the subtitles, the first stage of light and life. So he's been predicting that this first stage of this change was coming for some time, right?
Yeah, but it's he's a master at his story because he's made it dynamic and it's evolutionary, right? So it's ever changing and it could go this way or that way. You know, it's a good way to be a cult leader, man. You know, it's the story is continually changing. And, you know, so right now he's always been talking about China, you know, he talked about China and the divine new order. You know, that's his autobiography of like his coming into being who the great soul that he is. And, it's a never changing story. It's just like a politician, man.
But I was just wondering if it's like, if he thinks that it's been taking its time, but now it's really happening.
He's ramping it up, man. I mean, you know, fear motivates, you know, it motivates all of us. You scare a human being and they're willing to like pretty much do whatever. And you get mob mentality and, you know, he has a mob, you know, and it's easier to control a herd than it is to control an individual. And they're all in a herd right now and they follow suit.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
We are about to experience the beginning of the first stage of light and life on Urantia Earth and the coming and landing of the New Jerusalem with Christ Michael Jesus inside of it, as well as millions and millions of souls.
He just said the New Jerusalem is coming, right? And he claims that this is an architectural world and it's going to be like four states big, like
a spaceship, essentially, like a huge, massive.
Huge, like four states, and it's that big. And it's like, and he just said Jesus is going to be on it. When he just literally said that, okay? So be prepared for the New Jerusalem. It's coming. And then Jesus is going to hop off that bugger.
This great event has been prophesied for centuries. It is written in the book of Revelations. Go look at it. Type in New Jerusalem.
So they mentioned the spaceship in the book of Revelations.
And Jesus getting off of it, you know, and I'm not sure which Revelations that was. I mean, is that one off of the internet or is that in the Bible? I'm not sure. I don't think it's in the Quran.
Is architectural world a Urantia term?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it talks about the architectural worlds in the Urantia book. And they're spectacular. But
pimp my architectural world.
Now on Earth, Urantia, we are experiencing wars and rumors of wars. Millions of people right now are affected, and millions of more will be affected in the next 2 years.
You know, it's funny, though, is Gabriel has a speech impediment, and it transfers through to these beings. So when Gabriel talks white Porky Pig, so does Paladin. It's interesting. He doesn't, that does not, you would think if really high being like Paladin or these other entities he's channeling, they might not pick up his speech impediment. Why, if he didn't, also if he's like the highest being on the planet, why you got a speech impediment, homie?
No, it's definitely noticeable. And it's like when I was talking to people who had, you know, who are ex-members who had heard him, and we're talking about the experience of watching these channeling sessions, they would be like, oh, Gabriel turns into a completely different person. His face changes and he sounds different and it's really freaky. And I don't know what the experience is like when you're in the session, but me as a layperson listening to tapes later, it's like you get the Porky Pig effect, you know?
Yeah, you know, I've been in so many of those sessions, dude. I mean, and I never saw that. But what you get, dude, is you get a really low-lit room and a lot of candles burning and a lot of, like, it starts out with, like, some fucking, I don't know, like, monk music playing, like I don't even know what to describe it, dude. And then, like, you know, you're supposed to go in there and sit in like meditation for, they let you sit for a minute because, you know, you're waiting for a high being to walk through the door. So, you know, you're in there meditating and, you know, listening to calm music and there's lights and, you know, there's this whole ceremony and it's like a freaking seance, man. And then so, you know, if you go into something like that, you want to see something, sure, you're going to look at this old man sitting there with in the dark with a bunch of candles flickering. And yeah, you might, I don't know, it might look odd to you. And like, and not only that, but these sessions, he's fucking screaming at you. So it's not like this, oh, I've seen his face morph into this beautiful entity. No, bro. He's sitting there and he's like, you motherfuckers, like literally he's saying like, you motherfuckers are so fucking far out of God's will. Like you are headed to Dandros. Like, I mean, it's a fear session. And then you go into this fear session and there's some basic, I don't know, back and forth. He cracks jokes and shit. Like, talked about Wormwood coming, you know, I mean, there's been an evolution over it of the, you know, 30 plus years. So his story changes a little bit, but it's always the same shit. And I can tell you what, you go into it, there's like some community meeting shit and they'll be like, they'll chastise you what, how the community needs to like buck the hell up and, you know, work harder. And then it'll give some like weird ass teaching and you'll sing a little bit. And then like he'll then becomes the ass chewing session and that goes, and it's a violent narcissistic rage for a good 30 to 2 hours. It could be 30 minutes to 2 hours, man. And then he gets really sweet with you and he's like, but I love you and we will get through this together. And like, I'm not the dead ass. Like it's a, so when people are like, oh yeah, I've seen all this shit. If they saw something, they wanted to see it, and that was their ego trying to get close to Paladin.
You're explaining like theatricality, like a real obvious, like real concerted effort to create an environment where people's imaginations can run away.
There's a thing called a placebo effect. There's also a nocebo effect, and Gabriel can do both of those to you. You know, if you truly believe in something, yo, you're, if you want to see something, I'm going to come here and see something. Oh, by God, you might just see something. That's a human condition, man.
Armageddon is soon, unfortunately, to transpire. There will be war between Russia, China, and the United States and its allies. A third world war. The very well can be a nuclear war. While that is happening, the weather problems will continue to get worse because of Planet X in the neighborhood. The sun at this moment is having its own hiccups with three major holes in the sun producing tremendous solar flares, which is affecting now planet Earth.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've never heard him talk about the solar flares or the Carrington effect either, but like that is like an old school. Like I actually did a little short documentary about it for The Verge in like 2012. So, you know, it's like he's obviously like going out and looking for more conspiracy theories.
He's cherry picking this shit, man. I mean, that's what he does all day long is he goes and he sits and looks at all types of conspiracy and new age. And oh, yeah. You know, he's ramping it up because he's lost a lot of his narcissistic supply. And that's when you really ramp it up. And, you know, when anybody leaves there, it's ramped up to scare the shit out of people. So this radio, you know, whatever thread is, it was there for a reason. And it wasn't necessarily for the common people, but this is a message to certain people that have just left. And he's really trying to run it home like, yo, this is the end game. Y'all better get your asses back here right now or it's Dandros for your ass.
Dandros. And what is Dandros? He mentioned it a few times.
It's their version of hell.
What you do here on Earth affects a whole system of planets. What you do on this Earth either helps the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil. This is not time for ha ha ho ho. This is time to get on the Tao, the perfect Tao. This is not time to make money. This is time to trust in God. This is time to leave the system of Babylon, the system of Caligastia. This is that time. You can no longer wait. You can no longer live for something that isn't real. For nothing in this world is real. The world is coming, and Michael will be here. Jesus returns. In 2 years or shorter.
He's really passionate, right? Like, man, he's really like convincing me here. Yet, you really need to wake up. I'm going back, man.
So, all need to wake up. Wake up and hear what the master is saying to the people of the earth, to the people of Urantia, this fallen world 606 of Satania. Yanda, over and out.
Thank you, Paladin Van.
Thank you.
Thank you for that beautiful and important message. We'll keep talking about it and spreading the good word and the important word.
Yes, remember, speak with conviction.
Thank you, sir. I will.
All right. This is no time to play around on this earth. We are about to go to war with Russia and China.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Paladin Van. The website of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion, the campus where these ministers and missionaries, human rights ministers, missionaries, and activists are being trained to bring this message to the world. That website is uaspr.org. The campus sits at Avalon Organic Gardens and Eco Village, where the purification gathering on May 5th is being held. So if you want to find out more, you can always give us a call here at KVAN Visionary Radio to be pointed in the direction that you need to find out more about whatever aspect of what we're sharing resonates with you and how to get more information. Our number here at the station is 520-740-2320, 520-740-2320. You can visit the website uaspr.org to find out more. And Let's play some music and let all of that sink into your hearts, minds, and souls. So many beautiful songs that I could play on the heels of that very important message. But there's one I think I'm going to go ahead and pull up, because Paladin talked about the revelations and the New Jerusalem. And I went ahead and looked that up, as he directed to. And I just want to read this and then play you a very special song. This is from Revelation 21, from the New International Version of the Bible, A New Heaven and a New Earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And with that, I give you this beautiful song by Talias Van and the Bright and Morning Star Band. It is the vision of that new Jerusalem coming. This is Holy City.
And, you know, they just advocated, she just said, you need to make right choices. And the only solution he gave in that whole talk that he just spat out was that you need to come to divine administration. That was it.
You have to come to the cult. You have to come to the compound.
No other, nothing than that. Other than we're going to war, possibly could be nuclear. And the only thing that you can do as a good Jesus-loving human being is to come to divine administration and submit to the authority of eldership here. That's it. What other message was there?
And you were saying before when we were talking that you think this message, this particular broadcast, is kind of an escalation as far as like an indication of Gabriel getting weirder or more desperate or...
There is an evolution of like what's going on in this community. And, you know, it's completely different from its infancy. It's a wealthy working business right now. You know, it's a corporation, a nonprofit corporation that has, you know, 501c3 tax exempt status. And they got a lot of holdings. And Gabriel's getting pretty old now, and he's probably going to not be around much longer. And so what do they do with this monster they've created? And, you know, there's a couple people there that are going to try to vie for the power of this organization, which is worth a lot of fucking money. And, you know, it's in chaos right now. So, like I said, this part of the reason this came out was because some people left. And that doesn't look good, you know, especially the people that did leave. You know, that does not look good for Gabriel. And someone with, you know, in the cluster B range of mental health, like psychopathy and malignant narcissism, but when they're not getting that same feed of like adoration, boy, they're gonna lose their shit. And he's getting old and he knows he's gonna die, so that's when it gets ultra crazy, you know, because he wants to leave his stamp on this planet, you know, and he's trying to do that with his golden temple and
you know, he's going to get really far out there here in the very near future, I'm sure. And yeah, it's a fascinating psychological piece.
JG, tell us what's going on at Parallax Views.
I have a lot of stuff coming out.
You are the hardest working man in podcasting.
I used to call myself the human podcasting machine. But recently I had Suzanne Schneider on, who has a book out called The Apocalypse and the End of History, Modern Jihad. And I believe the title is Modern Jihad and the Crisis of Liberalism. And it's a really interesting book that gets into, you know, a lot of people think of jihadism as, you know, this like pre-modern sort of phenomena, whereas people like Suzanne Schneider and most famously the philosopher, the British philosopher John Gray, argue that things like Al-Qaeda and ISIS are actually very, very modern.
Yeah, they refer to Islamic fundamentalism more accurately, I think, as political Islam. So it's this branch of Islam that really came to bear in the middle part of the 20th century when people in the Middle East realized that they could force their regressive ideas down people's throats under the cover of Islam, the same way that like dominionists in America try to force these retrogressive ideas down our throats as Christianity, when really Christian nationalism has nothing to do with Christianity.
Yeah, I would go further than that. I would say Christian nationalism is a heresy. But in any case, I have those interviews out, and then I have a few coming out now. I have William Hoagland. That's going to be out by this weekend. William Hoagland of the Bad History Substack, and also
William Hoagland from the Faces of Mars.
No. That's Richard Hoagland.
Oh.
So William Hoagland is this really awesome historian. He wrote like Autumn of the Black Snake, which is about like the history of the U.S. I think the U.S. like military since like George Washington and like that period. He also wrote about the Whiskey Rebellion. But he sort of writes about like the – I mean, I guess he writes like dad history. You know what I mean? Like the kind of history books you would buy for your dad. But he sort of tries to interrogate history while doing that. He's writing pop history that sort of interrogates our assumptions about the founders and the ways in which we sort of turn, you know, the founding fathers into like saintly figures when they were just as fallible and human as us. But he's coming to my show to talk about the potential overturning of Roe vs. Wade and what he thinks of the leaked documents and the ways in which those leaked documents, the draft, essentially looks at history and why he thinks it's not good history that that draft does. And then I also have Yumna Patel from Mondo Weiss coming on to talk about her documentary on Israel and Palestine. And I will be doing a show on Yemen with a journalist from Yemen, Nasser Arabi. So that's what I have coming up on Parallax Views.
Very cool. And everybody subscribe to Parallax Views if you haven't already. And do you have a Patreon or anything like that if people want to support you?
Patreon.com/Parallax Views.
Yeah. And if you really want to support independent media, you can sign up for JG's Patreon and Failed State Update newsletter on Substack. It's lennyflatley.substack.com. Not only will you get a newsletter a couple times a week, but you will get stories that nobody else gets to see. Or, at the very least, you'll get to see stories before other people see them. So it's a great way to help us out. And I guess that's it, JG.
Right on.
So when the right one comes along, oh my God. Man, I tell you, they are so beautiful. The last song was a Cosmo rock song. This is the Cosmo ballad. You
You are.